Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Thanks, everybody.
The Bears.
You're listening to the best of the Bears.
He's in for the touchdown. And the Chicago Bears have taken the lead.
A weekly mix of 670 The Score's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
Brian, good morning. How are you?
With you here this morning.
It's great to talk to you, and we haven't had a chance to get your breakdown, if you will, recently. But it's great to catch up, and certainly the Bears are in a really nice place. They've won four games in a row. All of a sudden, they're back in this season. They're achieving some things, but they're doing it in less than overly impressive fashion. They certainly won their game last week against the Saints, in part because the Saints are a pretty bad team, and they didn't necessarily throw the ball especially well, but they have been stopping the run and running the football, and that'll help you win.
And taking the ball away.
Oh, yeah.
At record numbers, and that will help you win more than any other way possible. As much as all the attention coming into the season, guys, all obviously about Caleb, and his development. I mean, the thing that has developed is this offensive line, especially with Theo at left tackle, has really come together. That was an impressive performance. That's not the best defensive line in football, but they're not bad in New Orleans. And I thought they got pushed around pretty good. And all three backs, you know, obviously DeAndre had a big game, but the rookie was really good. And I just thought it was an impressive performance up front. And that's what Ben wanted from the very beginning. He wanted to create an offensive line like he had in Detroit, a run game like he had in Detroit. And I thought for the first time this year, it really looked like that. Maybe even against Washington, too. I mean, 2 weeks in a row now, you've seen impressive performances on the ground. And that's what jumps out to me right now when I watch this win streak and I see this team that's developing right now.
Brian, on Monday, I believe it was Ben Johnson said about Theo Benedict, he was inconsistent to say the least. And then yesterday, he singled him out along with every other member of the offensive line as far as being somebody who is doing their job in the running game. Is it just a case of a young rookie, essentially offensive tackle, that may be better at one thing than the other in the running game? He's fine. With pass protection, yeah. Still struggling.
I agree with that. All right, that's a fair assessment. And, you got to consider the level of competition that he is coming from. And now he's going up against the best athletes in the world out there on the edge. And he does struggle at times. He gets himself in bad positions. But in the run game, he stays on his feet and he stays attached. And him and Tooney are starting to create a pretty good left side, along with the tight ends. You can't talk about this run game without talking about the tight ends, because that's the direction of this whole league. It's how many tight ends can you get on the field? Can you protect your quarterback? Can you seal the edge? can you extend the gaps that a defense has to defend another gap because you've got three tight ends over there, you know, or two tight ends and a fullback, Durham Smythe, wherever he's lined up. Like it's really, that's a big part of it right now, the strong side run game. But Theo is staying on his feet in the run game, and he's staying attached to the defensive end or the tackles and the combo blocks up to the second level. I think that's, you know, pretty rapid improvement considering, I don't know, he started three games in a row now. Yep. They've won all three games. Yep. So, anyways, you know, I think he's developing at a pretty good rate. And I think, you know, that's kind of a – you could have easily stayed with Braxton and said, okay, we – almost like the devil you know is better than the devil you don't know. But Ben saw something in Theo. And so he's riding him right now. And I think young players, you kind of have to get through some of the sticking parts in pass protection. But I think they got to be thrilled about how he's playing in the run game.
Brian, we talked about Kevin Byard, who you know, and we were worried about where he was at the beginning of the year in terms of his speed and tackling and everything else. And he has just become one of the centerpiece guys in his ability to read things and get picks and just be a kind of an automatic takeaway artist. It's been pretty spectacular to see his improvement.
Well, I don't know if you guys have had a chance to talk to Kevin. I mean, he's a super smart guy. He's a complete pro. I thought that he had slowed down. It looked like he lost that, but then he made that play from center field against Rattler on Sunday over the top. And that's a lot of ground to cover. He took it the right angle. Some guys take the wrong angle, and they don't make that play. He took the right angle and, you know, trusted his eyes. But he's led this league in interceptions before. He's at the top right now. I feel like they've got him in the right spot. Jaquan is kind of moving around, letting him play more center field, which is really his position. But I've known Kevin since he was at Middle Tennessee State. He did the same thing there. He did the same thing in Tennessee when he was there, led a league in interceptions. I think the defense fits him right now. And can he go down to the slot and cover Amon-Ra St. Brown? No, I wouldn't put him there. But, you know, he's in a spot right now where I think it really showcases, the amount of experience that he has.
When you watch the Bears' defensive line, the pass rush was created last Sunday with, I think, three of the four sacks were on blitzes. I wonder what you feel about the interior and then the edge guys being able to get to the quarterback themselves and how well they're doing overall as a unit.
Well, Montez, you know, he's just a rare specimen, you know, just from a size standpoint. You just don't see guys that are 6'6", 275. You know, he's not a great pass rusher. But if the quarterback holds the ball long enough, Montez will affect it like he did last week. Javon, I thought, played better inside. You know, you need an inside push. You'd rather have a guy that can push from the inside almost more than a guy that can turn the corner. Montez doesn't have that sort of flexibility to dip and bend and some of the things the elite pass rushers does. But he's got size, and that does count for something. But look, in this league right now, you've got to heat quarterbacks up. And if you're trying to get there with four, unless you're Denver, unless you're one of these elite pass rushing teams, it's hard. You've got to find other ways to get either a free hitter or make the back stay in and block or, you know, get a fifth rusher somehow. And that's where they're at right now. And, you know, it was effective last week.
Yeah, it's really interesting to see the way that Dennis Allen has coached this defense. You know, the first game of the year, they obviously kind of fell apart in the fourth quarter. The second game of the year, they got steamrolled. And since that point, he's done like an excellent job of either confusing the quarterback as to where the rush is coming from. You know, they came off a bye week where basically they had a scheme advantage in terms of fixing their run defense. It's pretty extraordinary how good a coach this guy is.
He's you know, it's all in the details. I mean, he's just a detailed man and detailed coach. But, I mean, honestly, the worst game Dallas has played all year was against Chicago. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're putting up 40, you know, routinely. And Dak can be a candidate to be the MVP of the league. And they struggled. So, I mean, I do think that coming out of the bye and going to Washington, you know, was important. But we all know how that game finished. You know, if they get a handoff at the end of the game, Chicago doesn't have a four-game win streak. So, but that, you know, look, you take advantage of mistakes. and Nashawn was right there. So he's been a good find, you know, Nashawn over there at that right corner. He's really stepped up and played really well. It's great to get Kyler back in there, you know, because he's, you know, if you don't have a good nickel, you're gonna give up big plays. I mean, that position right now is as valuable as any cornerback position, and he's exceptional at what he does.
We're talking with Odyssey NFL insider Brian Baldinger, and insider calls are brought to you by Nationwide. For your insurance and financial needs, Nationwide is on your side. Brian, Caleb Williams had his worst game of the season last Sunday, but he has been good at other times. The inconsistency is something they're trying to eliminate. If you had to assess him based on what he needs to do better this Sunday against the Ravens, how would you start?
Well, I'd start with the way the play is supposed to start. Like, take the damn handoff, you know, or the snap. Like, the ball's on the ground. I don't know how many times it was on the ground last week. Two times at least, maybe three. Mm-hmm. Like, get a clean snap. Like, I don't know what happened with Dahlman and him, if the ball came up or if it just fell. I don't know what happened. I couldn't tell. But, like, starts with the snap. And then he's just missing too many open receivers. I mean, you can look at their completion percentage and go, okay, 61%. But it's the way that he's missing guys, you know, with clean pockets and good vision. Like, he shouldn't be missing those throws. And too many throws are either sailing or bouncing. And so if I said, you know, if I said there's one thing, Caleb, it's one thing when he was under duress like he was a year ago and he's, you know, he's holding the ball for 7 seconds and whatever. Like, that's, it's better this year. It's better. And so he has to be better. He's got to be, there's going to be throws you're going to miss just because you've got an obstructed view, you're getting hit, the pressure's on you, you're going to miss some. But I just think he's missing more throws than he needs to when he's got a clean pocket or good vision. And I would say that's what I'm looking. If there's a next step to Caleb that I want to see, that's got to be it.
Yeah, it's well said, because Ben Johnson was asked yesterday about getting the ball to the tight end, the 10th overall pick, and he kind of said, well, we've got a lot of guys that we got to get the ball to. He basically said, we're searching for completions, that you know, they need to just complete passes, period, end of story. And one of those guys is the tight end, but there are plenty of guys.
Yeah, no, but I mean, the good thing about Ben is I don't think he's sugarcoating anything right there. He's telling you the quarterback's got to play better, needs to complete more passes. And, you know, if he was trying to complete passes by laying on his back, that's one thing, but that's not the case. There's some pressure, but, you know, he's got great athletic ability to avoid a lot of that. But even when he does clear the soup, you know, the throws look sometimes, I don't want to use this word because it's a negative word, but he looks careless at times, you know, and there's a thing about setting your feet and making a throw, you know, and you got to go back to fundamentals. You got to harp on it. You know, there's a reason why. You know, pick a guy. Drake May is completing 75% of his passes. You watch him do what Caleb's doing and watch him set his feet to make the throw. Like, it can't just be this backstreet ball that he's had success with in college and somewhat in the pros. There's a place for fundamentals at that position to complete passes that you should be completing.
Brian, when you look at the Ravens' challenge for the Bears, it all comes down to whether or not Lamar Jackson will or won't play, and what version of him you will get if he does. Do you have a gut feeling? You know how this goes with coaches and the reticence to talk about injuries, but he was on the field yesterday trying to go.
They're 1-5, and they're deep in the crypt, and it's going to be hard to come out. And the only way they can come out is if Lamar plays. He's the only chance they have. Defensively, they played better in the last game, but the offense is just stuck in quicksand right now. And it wasn't great when he was in there, but it's going to be better if you got a league MVP in there. And they're going to complete passes, and they're going to score points. I got to believe that the only chance the Ravens, if they go to 1-6, it's over, especially if Cincinnati continues to improve. So I believe he's going to play, and he has to play. No matter what percentage he is, he has to be on the field at this point. And I expect to see him out there this weekend.
The Bears are on a 4-game winning streak, and they are 6.5-point dogs going into Baltimore. And there are a lot of Bear fans that are kind of upset about it. But the reality is Vegas is just trying to get a straight line. They're just trying to get you to wager, and they feel that more people believe that will happen than Bear fans are angry about it.
Well, I don't really like, look, if you just, the most important stat is takeaways, right? And so the Bears are top of the list. They're plus 11, which is outrageous. All right. It's one of the reasons why they're on this four game win streak. And Baltimore is second to last. They're negative seven. This is an 18 turnover differential in 7 weeks. That's over two a game. Like if they're plus two in this game against Baltimore, they're going to win the game. Yeah, I mean, you can just take it to the bank. They're not going to lose the game. But, you know, look, so what? They make it a, you know, they make, a, you know, Chicago a dog this weekend because it's on the road. That's 3 points right there. And then they think Lamar is going to play. So that's another three. So I mean, that's what it is. But that doesn't matter. Like, it's about stacking wins. And you got a team that's down. You don't want them to believe that they can come out of this crypt that they're in. Just throw dirt on them as early as you can in this game. Take the ball down. They have had trouble stopping the run in almost every game. Like, go down and run the ball like they did last week. And let them know that they're in for a dogfight, that they're physically better than you up front. Because that's what the message from Harbaugh is going to be to his team. You're going to let this team come in and beat you at the line of scrimmage. This is what we're known for. I mean, as long as Baltimore has been in this league since 1996, they've always been known for defense. And they've been terrible. So I'm sure that's the message to John, is don't you dare let DeAndre Swift run for 100 yards for his third straight week in a row. Like, you can see the messaging on the board right now to what, you know, Baltimore is going to say to how to win this game.
Great insight, Brian. Really, thanks for the time this morning.
Thank you, buddy.
Yeah, my pleasure, guys. Enjoy it, man. Have a great week.
You too.
That is Brian Baldinger.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10-7 through 12-1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Spiegel and Holmes.
All right. Well, we navigated that pretty well. I was worried. But I'm always worried.
So. That's your thing.
Yeah, that's my bit.
Afternoons on the Score.
I am 230, so I'm a larger, you know, kind of condensed human. So do understand that.
He's a larger, condensed human, says Caleb Williams. We are all developing as linguists. And sometimes when we talk, we make sense. And sometimes
We don't. Help me with this, would you, Anthony Herron?
I'll do my best.
All right, man. This was Caleb towards the end of his post-game press conference. We had it on the list to get to yesterday on Spiegel and Holmes. Lawrence is out today. He'll be back tomorrow. It's me and Anthony Herron right here with you. Going to talk to Kurt Warner in about 10 minutes. This was Caleb towards the end talking about, what's the setup, Tanny? It was basically about...
There is none, and that's why I enjoy it so much.
I remember listening to this being like, I'm not exactly sure I get it. So let's listen together and see if any of us get it.
It's belief. It's living in the know, the known. You know, the feeling of myself this year in the sense of when we have games, when we're going through the game plan, you know, when we get to the end of the week, it's more of a feeling of we know we're going to win. And, you know, that's not always going to be the case, but the feeling of it is different than, you know, maybe, you know, or you know, we got to go out here and play a perfect game or anything like that. It's living in the known of the feeling of we're going to come out here and win the game. And obviously a lot of things have to go right, and we got to execute, and we got to, you know, communication, all these different things. Defense has played well, offense has played well, special teams, all three sides of the ball. But living in the known is kind of where we're at. Even when we were 0-2, we were still living in the known that we're going to, you know, fight back, and, you know, we're going to be 2-2, and then we'll go 3-2, and then we'll be 4-2. And so it's living in the known. We have to, you know, do things throughout the week. I think at this moment, I think what I said recently or just a minute ago is the living in the known.
All right, living in the known. That sounds like real confidence, right? Just like the known. What exactly is known that he's
living in? It's living in the known.
Do you have any idea what is known in this setup?
A texter or Twitcher can correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like that was in response to asking about the difference between this season's 4-2 versus last season's 4-2, if I'm recalling that correctly.
You're trying to add a question to it.
No, you're wrong. I'm trying to live in the known, though, Ted. That's what I'm trying to do here.
That does not sound like you're living in the known.
You believe I'm incorrect is really what...
It's living in the known.
It's living in the known, Anthony. Yes. But, I mean, like, I Googled it and I got nothing, okay? I love sayings. I love maxims. I love phrases. A lot of them work. You know, there's a million different things you can use. This one, I don't know. So this must be a Ben Johnson thing, living in the known?
I honestly think that just came out of his mouth in the moment. I think he's a very well-read young man, and sometimes we just say stuff. It's like, you know what? I think that'll work for now, and I think that just kind of worked for now. I don't know that that's like on his mirror at home or anything. For me, I was I did sales training for a little while after I was done playing, when I decided, you know what? Tired of all these surgeries. I'm done playing football. And one of the guys who was like our sales trainer was talking to us about cold calls and leaving messages of mystery and all this other kind of stuff. And one of the things we had to come up with, you know, just sort of our affirmation that we would say before we got on the clock every day to make sales. And my affirmation was, I'm a productivity machine. And at this point, I really only had one job back then. You know, I didn't know I was being out here like a half day. Yes, that was me, productivity machine.
All right, I just found a book called Living in the Know, but it's about an adoptee learning who their birth parents are. Okay?
Well, Caleb thought he was going to be a Viking, right? So
maybe. Trying to learn where Kevin O'Connell
maybe
is.
Kurt's got something. Remember he taught us about Let Them, remember?
Yeah, Let Them. Okay. Yes, a little self-help. All right, now here's a website, livinginthenow.org, and living in the know.
Is it K-N-O-W?
Yeah, the okay. N, and the N right. and the O are capitalized. Mm. We believe that everyone has the ability to lead a happy and fulfilling life. So, but that's living in the know, not the known. Mm-hmm. Again, a texter wonders, did he say living in the gnome? Like his house is in the shape of a garden gnome. I've been living in the gnome.
Perhaps there's a tiny house inside of Caleb's massive house. And so when he does that, then at the moment he's in the gnome.
It's belief. It's living in the know.
No, I don't know. He says both. He says the know and then the gnome.
It's belief. Yeah. It's living in the know. The known.
Which is it?
Which of it? I don't know. Texture says it sounds like Tim Beckman explaining how they use the word osky. Now, that's an oldie but a goodie right there.
How about Grabber trying to explain the three technique?
Oh, yeah. No, there's, you know, there's lots of, and I want to look, he's a young guy and he's learning stuff and he's trying to figure it out. And maybe, but the context of it sounded like really believing, truly believing that you can win, that you're good. That, so like the difference between true belief and just a little, I'm sort of having the confidence. So I mean,
the confidence they have as a team right now, where they all feel like they got something good cooking here.
Yeah. I mean, and I get it. I get it. Here, texture is saying not living in what ifs or assumptions. Focus on what you know to be true and don't overthink it. Another says admitting you aren't sure is full on living in the known awareness. See, I get that. And now we're getting ahead.
It's just confident living in the now. Like you're where your feet are, but you're confident.
Is that confident with a K?
Yeah. I mean, then now, does that work with a K?
No.
No, that would be no.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Tim Jenkins.
I've got people real mad at me in Chicago that how dare you? There's a radio guy up there, Mike North. He was real mad.
Founder and CEO of Jenkins Elite.
I'm Tim Jenkins and welcome to All Things QB, where I watch every single clip and break down the most important ones today.
Breaking down the positives and negatives.
You've seen progressions that align with the quarterback's eye. I hope that's what we get more of, but I hope we continue to see some of these concepts and the way we build things are better for the quarterback versus just looks good on paper.
Tim Jenkins with Raheemi Harrison Grody on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Let's jump into the film.
He said it. Let's jump into the film. We go to the Circus Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. That is where we find our guest, Tim Jenkins. He, of course, of T. Jenkins Elite on Twitter. He is also the founder and CEO of Jenkins Elite. He's on YouTube. He also joins us on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670TheScore. Hey, Tim, thanks for coming on. Oh, no. We can't hear Tim.
I'm muted. Sorry.
Oh, there you are.
I've only done this for 8 weeks, you know, and I'm still muted.
That's okay.
Yeah, I'm fired up.
What fires you up? What did you see in the tape that you really liked about the Bears' win over the Saints?
To be honest with you guys, I think we've actually finally started to scratch the surface a little bit on true week-to-week play design. There was a play in the game where we motioned Luther Burden across the formation, and we did this last week. So we motioned our guy across the formation, and then we ended up hitting a vertical. We ended up hitting him on a go, right? The motion guy ended up running a go. This week, we motion him across the formation. It's an identical look, identical pass pro run action. And then instead of the go, we break off on a dig. And you can tell that the Saints, right, they're thinking go. The corner bails the heck out of there because he saw this on film and it was a go. And then he's wide open. So I actually think what we finally started to see was true week-to-week changes from Ben that are based on wrinkles from the week previous, which for me is the most exciting part because those are the kind of things that we were, I think, all really excited about when we heard he was coming to Chicago.
Would you say that's making the same things look different and different things look the same?
That's bingo. There you go. That's exactly what it is. So to me, it's like, I think, yeah, it's awesome stuff. They had a little game winner, too, that they showed something very similar early in the game. You know, not a game winner, but the fourth down one where it was like, okay, hey, we could get into victory. Is, you know, the tight end, instead of breaking out like he had all game on the same exact look, he snapped across the face on what we would call like a little ship route, a little short post. And then we hit it for an easy one. So to me, it was like, I don't know. I think we're finally seeing this offense start to adjust week to week, click week to week, which I think is a testament probably not only to Ben, but also his belief in what Caleb can do and handle. And we're seeing it pay off.
So we see the good in the scheming and the play calling, but I know we saw a step backwards from Caleb in his play. I just want to know from you, how big of a step back was it and what did you see?
I mean, I saw two really bad plays, right? Like, if I'm being honest with you guys, I mean, so if we separate, to me, it's always hard. I like to separate the physical errors. Like when he's scrambling around and he dirts a ball that we think he could put on somebody, my general belief with Caleb Williams is that's not going to be an issue long-term, right? So for me, it's like we're going to have physical errors. So I kind of put those in a different. For me, when I sit there and I look at the tape, it was we had two glaring bad decisions, which is the deep out interception. That's just a terrible decision to go to the deep out on that situation, where he's trying to force it to Rome and it's like it's 3rd and 15. It's just not a feasible throw. The corner played it well. And then we had one that was really egregious, which was him trying to force it to DJ Moore against bracket coverage on the, we would call it a bang eight route, like a bang post. Mm-hmm. That was a terror. That was the worst decision I've seen him have all year. With that being said, I still kind of get what his thought process was, which was he was trying to move the safety with his eyes. He wasn't actually looking at the safety, trying to move him, snap back, try to throw on time. Guess what? Safety didn't move. We got problems, right? You know, you could throw the CQ issues in there too, which seem like they're starting to pop up more frequently, which, I don't really, it's hard to tell why they're happening between the bad snaps and the gun and the under center miscommunication. So do I think it was like a drastic step back? No. I do think we've probably got to start to accustom ourselves, though, to the fact of we finally have a football team that our quarterback doesn't have to make unreal plays every single week for us to win football games. And that's exactly what you want. Like, Mahomes does not make insane plays every single week when the Chiefs are chugging along and beating the Saints, right? Like, we want to be a football team that can win ugly, or, hey, our quarterback has three or four bad plays. Hey, we can still overcome it and win. So to me, it's more or less this team is doing a great job. And I think Caleb is playing exactly the kind of game we need, which is, hey, dude, don't go give it away by making, you know, rookie or second year quarterback decisions. Play within our offense. There are going to be 400 yard days and there are going to be 200 yard days. And we got to be okay with that as long as we're walking out of there with a win.
Well, Tim, I also thought that maybe as much as Caleb Williams has talked about how he liked his turnover to touchdown ratio last year. You know, that he only threw 6 interceptions. I feel like the Saints with the early interception may have gotten him a little bit, you know, and then we saw those two batted balls by Chase Young. It was pretty obvious the Bears wanted to set up the screen game and the Saints knew it and they didn't want it to happen. And I wonder how much that affected him for the rest of the game from a passing standpoint.
I mean, I think you could be onto something, right? To me, it's always hard, right? Because I think different quarterbacks react different ways on that psychological front, right? Like some guys, it's almost like you see him throw an interception, you're like, great, we're going to have a good day because now he's pissed off and he's going to come back, right? You think about old school Tom Brady getting salty. It's like that was kind of the best thing for him. Whereas you're right, Caleb could be one of those guys who, man, hey, he really wants to have a great touchdown interception ratio. So when he does get aggressive with it early, hey, does that prevent him from being aggressive later? I would tell you that I didn't see, I thought he was equally as aggressive, you know, throwing the dig route or throwing the can sail that, you know, as he was early on. With that being said, like I could see exactly what you're saying with some of those scramble throws, some of those screen, you know, the screen balls that get batted down where it's like, you know, hey, are you kind of taking a little something off this? Are you trying to be perfect? Which I think would be something that I'm assuming this Bears staff would be dealing with behind the scenes, which ultimately we're going to get into a game where he's going to make a mistake. It's going to be against a good football team where we still have to rally back and hunt with the football and be aggressive. And we're going to need him to do that later in the season when these games really start, you know, get some of these division games where, you know, playoffs are on the line. We need him to be hunting with the football.
Tim Jenkins joining us, founder and CEO of Jenkins Elite here on Raheemy Harris and Grody. And Tim, I'm a little bit concerned about Caleb just from this standpoint. He talked about how he's struggling, and I feel like he's in a slump here when he talks about throwing on the run. This is one of the things that he's been known for, one of the things where he can put on his cape and do the Superman thing. But right now, he's just not able to do it very well and consistently. Is there a remedy for that? I mean, I know Ben Johnson, he's going to try to bring the best out of him, but if a player believes that he's in a slump, what happens next?
Yeah, I would agree with you. Like, that quote's concerning, and I say it's concerning because, you know, you have to be borderline narcissistic arrogant, right, to play that spot, you know? Like, Andrew Luck had a really great long article about retiring and, like, the kind of toll it takes to be a quarterback in the NFL on, I think, like, maybe borderline not healthy thoughts about yourself, right? Like, nobody wants to, you know, work with someone who's always thinking about themselves simultaneously. Like, if you're going to be under center in the NFL, you need to be doing that. So then when you hear a guy say, hey, man, I don't feel great on the run. Yeah. How much of that feeds itself, I think, is a really big question that I don't think we contemplate enough when it comes to sports psychology and the things that go into actually performing, you know, on that stage. What I'll tell you is, from just a quarterback evaluator standpoint, Caleb on the run has always been the best term for this. He's always been just the best kid on the playground. Like, I don't think he's ever done anything from a, you know, hey, he's technically perfect, right? Like, he's always done more or less like amazing throws. Like, his chest is flat to the line of scrimmage versus maybe his, you know, off shoulder pointing at his target. He's always done stuff where it's like, man, he's almost doing it in spite of his mechanics. So what I would argue is, I think there's, you know, if he feels like he's in a slump, I would argue that just some like old school, hey, man, get your shoulder to the target a little bit. Hey, let's get our J step right to where my back inseam is pointing at my target. Get my weight a little bit going forward, not necessarily completely horizontal. I think some of that stuff could actually help him, which is funny because it's like the same thing, you know, you'd be talking about with a younger quarterback. But when you're as skilled as Caleb is, like, I don't blame guys for not, you know, touching him mechanically, because it's like, why would you? Like, he hits all his spots. There's no need. Don't mess with it. You know, don't fix something that's not broken. With that being said, if he's starting to say, hey, man, I feel like this part of my game is broken, I think a return to some of the old school fundamentals could really help him more or less snap out of that slump that he feels like he's in.
No, I agree. I think that that's a good way of putting it, because he's learned how to build his identity and make money off of doing so for so long at this point. You know, he made $10 million, and I say that as a compliment. That is that's incredibly successful, as we know, to be able to do that in your college career. So I would imagine a lot of this is going to take a lot of work for him. And when I think of when Ben Johnson says the offense is going to look a certain way in December as opposed to now, this is kind of what you're getting at. You know, even the baby steps of what you're seeing Tim on film is a lot of what that probably builds to. You know, how do you absorb all of that, knowing like we are seeing steps that lead us to probably a much different product a couple months from now?
Yeah, and that's what I think. You know, when you sit there and you look at the game and you kind of go, you walk away from it thinking Caleb didn't play great. I do think there's a lot of hidden things too that are progressing. The operation at the line of scrimmage. Think about how many fewer pre-snap penalties we have. You know, you're actually seeing him touch his head and yell, can, right? They're getting from one play to another. You see the timing in not only the pass game with the motions, but the run game. Those are all the little things that I think he's doing right that we probably don't credit enough. But if we all just take a step back and go back to week one, we remember how bad it could look, right? So to me, that's where I think you see this offense trending. And I think the most exciting part is, imagine pairing all of that, right? You pair all of the him doing the little stuff right with, let's say we get a return to Caleb's form on his throwing on the run, some of these other things. This offense is going to be pretty salty, pretty dangerous down the stretch, which I think is what Ben is probably alluding to, which is like, guys, we're finally taking steps in the right direction operationally. We're going to get all this other stuff right. And when they do, watch out, because I think it's going to be a pretty explosive offense.
We love it. The vote of confidence from Tim Jenkins is a good thing. I assume you're working or have already released the breakdown on YouTube.
Yeah, breakdown is out. It is it's not as exciting as, you know, normal. We didn't have like, you know, five tutties, but there's some really good stuff. It was good. And I'll tell you what, I've said this a lot on the program, but I truly mean it. There is nothing like the comment section on Chicago Bears stuff. Like, people tell you to post and ghost. That just couldn't be further from the truth. The amount of joy from reading some of this stuff, they're awesome. Even if they're trashing you, you got to admit, I'm sure you guys get it too. You get on Twitter, even if you're getting trashed, there's some stuff that's pretty funny. I read it and I go, yeah, that's a good dig. That's a good dig at me. I love it. And I appreciate you guys having me on, and hopefully another win next week.
Love it, Tim. And post and ghost is a new term I hadn't heard. I'd
never heard that, but
day.
I will be using it. Thanks so much, Tim. I appreciate you, man.
See you guys.
Thanks, Tim Jenkins. And man, who knew that
post and ghost? I love that.
We get the advice and we also get the info, and then we get the post and ghost is a good idea.
Yeah, I've already been posting and ghosting. I just didn't know it was called that.
Yeah, a lot of times, like, we just can't see everything. Like, I'm sorry. Like, we got to read other stuff.
I don't have time.
Yeah, that's really what it is. Like, I read probably half of the Twitch chat because it moves so quickly, and like a fourth of the text line. Sorry. It's just kind of how it goes. Speaking of all of that, here's something you might want to chime in on, everybody. I mentioned Chase Young and what we saw about in the very beginning of the Saints game, the Bears establishing the screen game and trying on that left side, and they were not smooth. Well, apparently Ben Johnson echoed that on Monday. So let's listen to what he had to say about his assessment of current situation at left tackle. We'll do that next on Raheem Harris and Grody on The Score.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Mark Grody, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Yeah, you don't know what exactly Caleb Williams is being told or what they're going to do when they come in the game. But, you know, do you say, hey, we're going to take our shot, give them a chance? But there was no chance that this ball, you know, you got two defenders and they were there the whole time. And, you know, okay, you give Odunze an opportunity to go up and make a play, and that's fine. Take the sure thing, especially there on second down.
This is Raheem Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. That is courtesy of ESPN, Joe Buck, Troy Aikman, and also Robbie Triano with The Outcast on the ones and twos. And it's also a good example of what we're seeing right now out of the Bears offense when it comes to trying to figure out who's wide receiver one, who is supposed to get the most targets in a game? Who is supposed to be the person that Caleb Williams may look toward first? I joked about Olamide Zaccheaus being his blankie for a while. I feel like there were a lot of reads to Olamide. I feel like it has a lot to do with where he is on the field. But Roma Dunze has had an interesting six games so far. 46 total targets, but in the last two games, he's only had two catches each for 32 and 31 yards, respectively. DJ and Olamide have had 31 targets each, just in case you're wondering. Where I feel like DJ has made a huge, huge contribution so far is in his blocking as well. But we knew Ben Johnson wanted to establish the run game, and there's only so many snaps. The ball can go around to so many people. So you knew something may be lesser in the box score. But for Rome, I think that production out of the ninth overall pick, when Matty Eberflus said it, like just like we planned it, that that was the telegraphed idea from the front office of who was going to be one and two. You're asking yourself, how should this play out for Rome in his second NFL season?
So are we calling Rome Odunze wide receiver one? Let's establish that.
I think I need to know who the Bears think is wide receiver one. I would think based on contract, it's still DJ. But I think they probably think their wide receiver one of the future is Rome. But you can't tell based on the offensive concepts.
So Rome, here are the two big numbers that stick out to me. Yes, he has more targets, like 50% more targets than DJ Moore's 31. He's got 46 targets.
Right.
And looking at that and the fact that he's averaging more yards per reception, 15 to DJ Moore's 11.7. He obviously has more touchdowns. He's got 5 and 6 games to just one for DJ Moore. But the real big number for me is first downs. And 20 times Roma Dunze on those 24 receptions has been for a first down. Whereas when you look at DJ Moore, of his 22 receptions, only half of them, 11, have been for first down. That's what tells me Rome is wide receiver one, because he's making the biggest plays in the game, the most first downs, and a high percentage of first downs, by the way. 20 out of 24 is nothing to sniff at. And to see the 5 touchdowns and knowing that he hasn't even had big games the last two times out, and we heard what Ben Johnson said in his day after press conference, and that leads me to believe more is coming to Roma Dunze in the future. It's just more of an individual game plan.
Let's hear what Ben Johnson had to say about Rome's numbers.
To me, the message for everybody is we just got to go back to work. I think as an offense, it comes in waves. Some guys are going to get hot, and some guys are going to step out of the spotlight for a little bit. I think that's the nature of having so many good players. Rome certainly being a part of that. And so there'll be a time where this thing comes around again and he gets hot all of a sudden and he'll end up having 10 targets in a game and 8 or 9 catches and a couple touchdowns and we'll be feeling good about life. But when you're a perimeter player, I do think it's hard to necessarily dictate the number of times that the ball comes your way, you know? So I think he does a great job along with DJ and Luther and OZ, all those guys. I mean, they want to go out there and compete for their teammates. I think they're doing a better job of blocking for their buddies down the field as the play unfolds. There are a number of really good clips of that yesterday. And it certainly helps when we're having success as a team because, you know, you put any of that personal goals to the side. I think all those guys, they want the team to win first and foremost. And so the personal success, that'll come.
I think, though, that he's right. So many times you just know where a quarterback's eyes are going on the field. And with Caleb Williams, I know that when he's targeting Olamide Zaccheaus as much as he has, where I think it was game before last, he was the leading targeted receiver in the game. And it's because that's where his eyes go. That's a bad thing if you're trying to scheme against it offensively. If you're the opposing defense, it's good because you know he probably is reading the flat where OZ usually plays. But here's the other part of this. So as we've said, Zaccheaus has 31 targets. Roma Dunze has 46. But he only has a 52.2 catch to target percentage. Now again, that part of it is because he's farther away. He's farther down the field. As you heard illustrated in that one play, Rome throws up his hands. He's at the next level of the defense. You know, he's out past the secondary. He's the guy who you want to take the top off, for example. He's got his hand up because he's open. but Caleb runs for the first down instead. Those are things that I think happen when you're trying to have an understanding of situational football. What I worry about is long-term, that's what happens when you have a quarterback who doesn't like throwing interceptions, doesn't like risk throwing interceptions, doesn't like the word interception. Like, you're going to have to understand that sometimes you're going to have to look for your guy, not just have the telegraph plays or the intended plays where you've got to throw to him in double coverage downfield. We see that happen, but that's because I think he might be the intended read. There are times where he's going to be open downfield, but you're not looking there. I don't like to use that example all the time because I know exactly what he was thinking. He was trying to get the first down. But it is a good example of how this offense grows over time. And hopefully, he can take that risk too.
I put all the confidence and faith in Ben Johnson's ability to sort this out, right? But you bring up a very good point. The fact that Roman Dunze is only catching 52% of his targets is not good. And conversely, you've got a guy like DJ Moore, and this is why I think DJ Moore is their best receiver right now, because he's proven, he's done it, and he's catching 71% of the balls thrown his way. That's a much higher and much more acceptable number, right?
It's what he's known for.
And also what he's doing after the catch is, you know, not dependent on if he's covered or not, because he's going forward whether he's got open field in front of him or whether there's a defender in front of him, because he'll knock the defender around and get an extra 2 or 3 yards. That's what makes DJ Moore, I think, the toughest guy on this team. We know what happened when he had to stay overnight in a hospital, comes back, plays. Whew, couldn't be me.
Well, that part too. I think we all know what it means when you hear a guy say he had a horrible injury, it's groin, it's personal. Like, all of that. Here's what I think we should keep in mind. I don't want to hear any more about how he's not a team player when he's out there blocking like he does every single play. He's not doing that because he's trying to get glory. He's doing that because it's the right thing for the play. I can't tell you how many times I've rewatched Bears games over and over again, and I've seen him with a crucial block. I can't tell you how many times I've written down, DJ, nice block, DJ, nice block. Cole Kmet has had great blocking games. And it stinks because that's not how you get the highlights, right? It's not how you get talked about a lot of the time. It's not what you see in video all the time. But for people who watch it is, when you're watching all of that, when you see players that you know can do more because you've seen how they produce yards-wise touchdowns in a season. You know, Cole Kmet, keep in mind, was one time the leading receiver for the Bears in a season. So when you consider that and how he and DJ Moore are both sacrificing a lot of that by blocking because they want to be a part of this, they want to help the offense produce, I think that they deserve some credit there too.
We're talking Bears receivers here on Raheem Harris and Grody, and just what effect they've had, what the roles are. Who is wide receiver one? I'm pretty sure it's Roma Dunze by the way he's played, but I'm pretty sure DJ Moore is still the best and most consistent receiver on the team. To your point, Layla, about the blocking and the dirty work, as it were. Remember, Ben Johnson's offense is run-based, and we saw it in Detroit. You see him on Ross St. Brown block?
Every day.
Yeah.
Every day he's consistent with his blocks.
I think the no block, no rock is something that is translated quite well in the Ben Johnson era compared to maybe earlier administrations.
And 847 is right here on the text line. Half of the catches that Rome's not making are because Williams is throwing the ball into contested. You're right. It's double coverage. It's somebody wrapped up on him. That is a lot of times the case. But what separates you in the league, and I'm not expecting this yet out of Rome in his, you know, first year and a half, is you got to make some of those balls that are contested to earn your money, to earn your keep, to earn your top 10 draft pick. You have to make some of those. You can't be dropping. There's been times where there's been somebody on his back, a defensive back on his back, and he's still got the right angle and position to make the catch, and it's in the right place on his body, but he drops the ball.
Right. Getting hit from behind is tough, but that's why you get paid as a receiver in the National Football League. That's the difference between here and college. The physicality of the game in terms of point of attack when you're trying to high point a ball or whatever. Also, 630 on the text line. I have a weird feeling that DJ could get traded this year or next year. He better not get traded this year. Somebody was talking about that.
Well, here's the thing. I think that when there's a new coach, you don't know how everybody's going to fit into the system. And there are times where they do trade really good players because they don't necessarily match what they're trying to do. Do I think that's the case with DJ Moore? No.
Exactly. And that's my point. It's like, if you want to trade him at the end of this season because you're going in a different direction, whatever, but after seeing what I've seen the first six games, DJ Moore is an integral part of this year's offense.
Well, 815, how about the Chargers? Fifth round tight end with 7 catches, 164 yards, and 1 touchdown. Yeah, I mean, we can compare the tight ends. You know, Tyler Warren's the biggest one for Indianapolis. Speaking of that game, you know, like Chargers played the Colts, and the Colts looked really good.
Two thoughts. One, if they were to trade DJ Moore, I don't know what the contract, the money, the dead cap, anything that goes along with that. Two, Danny Parkin's thought exercise. If you were to trade DJ Moore, what would you get back in return?
Well, that's a question. Like, one of the text lines said, for an edge. Okay, yes, sure.
I think like a second round pick.
Monarch butterflies, unicorns, and rainbows being farted out of somebody. You know, like that positional value doesn't exactly translate that way. That's the issue. There's also got to be a market.
Like, could you get a first round pick for DJ Moore?
I don't know that that would be... Number one, I know how the first round picks get used from time to time in these parts. Number two, I don't necessarily know if that's sufficient to what the job is. I want to see what DJ Moore is like on this team in December. I think he fits in, especially because of the blocks that I just told you about. He is a yak and rack guy. Ben Johnson does want to get that screen game going, and DJ Moore should be a big part of it.
Also, yeah,
that was another thing that happened on Sunday against the Saints. The Saints did not want them to set up the screen game. That was a telegraphed, deliberate plan. Chase Young was like, is this a screen? No, it's not. Batted ball.
He was definitely doing that. I think when you look at the idea of trading DJ Moore, it is laughable to me because of what I've seen. I think the other thing you have to look at is, when you talk about what Ryan Poles would want for DJ Moore, all I know is he traded a second-round pick for a guy who was not nearly in the class of DJ Moore. That's on the record.
Right.
Chase Claypool.
The pick number 32, higher than where he was originally drafted.
Yeah, I'm not sure I even trust Ryan Poles to make a trade at this trade deadline.
Oh, I thought about that, too. I'm like, in what round do I trust Ryan Poles to get value? All right. Coming up next on Raheemy, Harrison, Grody on the Score, we have to discuss what on earth is going on in New York. Jets, Mets, Mets, Mets?
No, don't do that.
Jets, Mets, Mets, Mets?
The Mets spend good money. They are not the White Sox. The Jets...
The Mets are a better executed idea of the White Sox. White Sox with money?
I feel beat down right now.
Hold me back.
Hold me back. Actually, just help me up.
Help me up. No, the Jets are a mess. And yeah, well, that's evergreen. This one involves Justin Fields and the owner, Woody Johnson. We examine next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Grody, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk three times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.